Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is New York Brand Lab Radio. I am Van, otherwise known as Mary Vanderweel. I'm your host, and you can tell I'm a host with a bit of laryngitis this morning, but that wasn't going to stop me from getting on the show this morning. It's 10 a.m. in New York, and I'm always delighted to be here talking about passionate people and their brands. So today we are going to have a very special guest with us. She's a visionary, and she can see things that other people can't. I'm delighted to have Ali Brown join me this morning from L.A., and she is no doubt an early bird. Good morning, Ali. How are you?
Hi. It's great to be here, Van. Yeah, it's New York time just seems to rule the country. All my radio interviews seem to be, like, really early.
Well, I'm so glad you're an early bird. Apologies for my voice, but I'm going to talk very quietly and into the mic so that everybody can hear me, so I don't have to stress. I don't think we need too much introduction for Ali. She's the founder and CEO of Ali International, and her company was recently named to the 2009 Inc. 500, an exclusive ranking of one of the nation's fastest growing private companies. Ali has created a dynamic multi-million dollar enterprise that is devoted to empowering women around the world. And I am going to let everybody go to alibrown.com because I can see that I'm not going to just, you know, roll off Ali's amazing credits. She's won amazing awards, business awards. She appears regularly on the media. She's a regular contributor to Forbes.com. And the most amazing thing recently, she was in the spring 2011 season finale of ABC's hit primetime series, Secret Millionaire. That must have been amazing, Ali.
It was a powerful experience, yeah.
And it's changed your business, right?
It truly has. I think, well, anytime you're taken out of your usual environment, it's good for you. It shakes you up a little bit and often gives you clarity that you can't get when you're, you know, in the forest.
Yes, I think, yes, you're absolutely right. It's actually looking at the world through a different lens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so powerful, right?
It was. And, you know, if people want to, you know, I know we're not here to talk about the show today, but if people do want to catch the, if you go to just Google ABC Secret Millionaire, you can watch entire episodes online at the ABC website, and I highly recommend it. It was life-changing for me and just brought me back to a place of wanting to do more service work in the world.
Fantastic. Well, Ali, we were just talking earlier. There's so many things we could explore here on the show. But because this is a New York Brand Lab Radio, and because perhaps you don't get to talk about your brand every single day, we thought that it would be fun to hear, or I thought I'd love to hear more about your brand, Ali. I've been dubbed, of course, the brand therapist, and for a reason, because it's all about looking at the underbelly of business. And, of course, the brand is your most powerful and vital asset. So let's start, Ali. There's something you have your brand has definitely a strong and vital pulse. You have a brand that has definitely got a lot of oxygen, and it's, I just want to ask you, when you first started all those years ago from your New York tiny apartment, I remember it was a studio apartment, you started putting the word out there, right, about easing writing, and you didn't actually know you had a brand until you had a following. So, so tell us a bit about.
I thought branding was kind of BS, honestly. I was like this renegade small businesswoman, and I'm like, well, branding's for big companies like Coca-Cola and IBM, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't need a brand. I had a name for my little company. It was like AKB Projects when I first started, which is my initials, but I thought, well, you know, I don't need a brand. I don't have a brand. And then what happened is, as I grew into starting to teach others and publishing ebooks and courses, because the turning point for me was internet marketing. And if people want to hear more about that story, that is on the website, alibrown.com. But, you know, there's a long story there. But the turning point for me was internet marketing, learning to use the internet to sell from my seat. And I could be in my, you know, crappy little apartment there with the bathtub in the kitchen and send out email newsletter. And then people started asking me, how are you marketing using the internet? And that's when I started saying, maybe I could teach others how to do what I'm doing once I figured it out. And so I started creating ebooks and courses. And my first brand, because I was very proficient at marketing with e-zines, was I remember waking up in the middle of the night saying, I'm the e-zine queen. And it's funny, Van, because it brought up all these issues. I'm thinking, well, what if I'm really not the queen? What if someone's better than me? What if there is a queen already? What if there's an e-zine king? Like, it just brought
bought up
all this
stuff.
Isn't
that amazing what the
mind does? You know, and I think claiming a brand brings up a lot of issues for business for women is personal, and it often brings up when we step into a bold place of claiming something, whether it's a brand or our unique selling proposition or pricing ourselves, it often brings up any personal issues that need to bubble to the surface. So I was, you know, stepping into a place of really being confident, calling myself the Easy Queen. And that's where I stayed for a few years as I focused on teaching internet marketing to others, and especially women who are starting or growing businesses. A turning point for me, that the next milestone for me was I was getting restless with my brand. And I don't know, I'm sure you'd agree with this, Van, but when you're a personal brand especially, you know, things can change quickly as you change. And I think that's one of the blessings of being a small business owner is your brand can evolve with you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. In your life. And I was starting to feel really boxed in. I'm like, what am I? I'm not the Easy Queen anymore. I'm teaching more. And I had women also asking me. I mean, I was getting clues. Women were asking me, well, how do you run a business? How do you manage your cash flow? Where'd you get that suit? What do you do to exercise? I mean, they were asking me all this stuff about, you know, holistically about being successful and having a great life. And that's what led into just the Allie brand. And the tagline, live your good fortune, which I truly believe everyone has a good fortune. You just choose. It's something you choose, and you live it. And the brand expanded for 2 years. It really grew because I wanted to have some fun. And when I was little, I dreamed of having a magazine. I dreamed of I was always very creative and didn't get to do this stuff when I was working in my 20s. And so I had a magazine. I had an online boutique and some fun stuff. And then what happened is, partially because of Secret Millionaire, but also just the next evolution for me, the brand now is back and it's more representing the core of what I do, which is mentor women to start and grow businesses.
So what happened then, do you think, when you started the boutique and the magazine? Was it just another evolution, but what was it that told you this isn't really where I want to be? Was it because of the show, do you think?
Well, at the time, I needed to create it. I desperately needed to feel expansion. I desperately needed to break out of the box I was in. And I think the expansion for me was right on, because I knew that I had to feel this, like this breakout of the niche I was in.
Right.
Coming back now to the core, it came from, you know, honestly, even in my life now, I'm just craving simplicity. I have a leaner team now. We're getting stuff done better, actually, now with a smaller team than I did with a larger team. I'm even downsizing my home. I'm just suddenly craving simplicity, and I'm just really honoring that. And I think it takes courage to honor where you are at the time. And most people who grow stagnant in their business, I think, are just not honoring what they really want in their life.
Well, I think what you're saying, Allie, about, I mean, all of this about standing in that sort of pool of confidence and showing up and honoring exactly who you are and where you are at that moment is so, it does take courage. And I think, especially for women, I think you're absolutely right. It is personal. So do you find when you're, because of course we teach our lesson too, of course, right? So do you find when you're working with women and mentoring them, are you finding the resistance? Are they saying, yes, I want to show up, but I can't because I don't dare? Because I love your story. We were just saying, you know, I'm the Easy Queen, but, you know, all the doubts that we all have, of course. You know, is there an easy, you know, will I be found out, or is there an Easy King who will take me away to his tower? What is that about? What is that about women and their resistance? I mean, do you have some feeling about that?
It's interesting that it happens to everyone at different points. And I think it does happen to men as well, but studies I've read we're just wired differently, and we need to acknowledge that. And I think there's a lot of us not acknowledging that we are different. We're complete. You know, it's not just our body differences that make us women. We truly are wired differently, and we are not as wired for risk as we could be. The studies that have been done at women who are high up at companies, I mean super C-level, like Fortune 500 companies, still have this secret fear they call imposter syndrome. They still have the secret fear that one day they will be found out, that they really don't know what they're doing. And that makes me just want to cry. And it's something that, you know, I can't explain chemically and why it happens to us, but I know it does. And it's just something you need to be aware of. And whenever that comes up for me, and it does, you know, if I'm sitting in front of the camera doing something for Fox Business or you know, today it's fun. I'm filming something for the Style Network, which is fun because I love fashion. They're having me on as a guest expert. Every time something comes up that's a step up or a challenge, that little voice will come up, and I get that occasional, like, well, who do you think you are? And, you know, how are you an expert in this? There are some people who know better, more about this than you, and blah, 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 blah. And you just have to acknowledge it and say thank you. That's your brain trying to protect you. And just know that you're safe. And I think whenever I talk to women, I just help them realize, like, you're safe. You realize that. And I do know from studies I've done with a great woman named Alison Armstrong, you know, she teaches us that women, we have this thing about needing to be liked, and that shows up in ways we don't even realize. Like, when we're breaking out of the pack and we step up and make that bold claim in our brand, if we stepped up like that in our cavewoman days, and our DNA essentially has not changed in a long, 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 long time,
right?
We would die. If we stepped out of that pack and we claimed or caused trouble or stepped up or ticked someone off, you're kicked out of the tribe. And, you know, that's one explanation that it makes sense when I think about it, because it is how it feels. You're worried you're going to get kicked out of the tribe.
Well, that's certainly been, well, it's not brainwashed, but it is part of kind of our DNA, I guess. I mean, it's just kind of in our genes. Ali, I love the way you talk about, you know, it is, you choose your fortune, you choose your path, you choose your journey, and you live it. How did you, you know, because you're stepping, you've continually stepped into a bigger and bolder place and claimed it, right? So how did you learn to do that? I mean, did you get a lot of encouragement when you were that small child dreaming of having a magazine? Did you get a lot of positive feedback from your family?
You know, they liked my creativity, but my parents were very practical. And while they encouraged me to explore the arts, and I was always in the drama club and that kind of stuff, you know, they didn't discourage me, but it wasn't something that I had ever considered as a career, like doing something creative. And I went to college, and I was a communications major, though, because that did seem fun, and I could have some fun in that because we did design and writing and animation and all kinds of cool stuff. And then I got out of college and just took a job as a secretary because I still didn't know what I wanted to do. And, you know, I do like that I wasn't discouraged in any way, but I surely, you know, we kind of all get practical as we grow up. You're in the adult world. You're thinking more realistically. You don't say, well, I'm going to go start a magazine one day. And that's why I think being an entrepreneur and having a business gives many of us the chance finally to express who we really are. Because I didn't do that in my jobs in my 20s either. I felt really boxed in. I couldn't be who I really was or have the personality or paint my office pink if I wanted to. And it's such a wonderful form of self-expression that can generate an income for you as well.
Well, I love the fact that you talk about having fun a lot. And I think that is a wonderful to have that part of your psyche, because so many people don't realize that business can be fun or that their brands can be fun. So where does that come from? Because, I mean, I happen to agree with you and love that too, but I know a lot of people wouldn't think that being fun or having fun in life is really a given, because they think either that's, you know, that's outside of work.
Yeah, I think that comes from the masculine work model, because when you look back at when women entered the workforce after World War II, men were the ones who created business and the idea of business and the business environment, and it evolved through the decades led by men. You're seeing a change in that now. Women were really the ones to first bring meaning to the workplace and say, hey, I like doing this, or and I don't like doing that, or, you know, can I work flexible hours because I want to be with my kids in the afternoon? And we brought this whole new paradigm to the working world. And I think especially for entrepreneurs, that that is the escape. That is the key to freedom. I mean, because even working at companies now, even the more advanced companies, you know, unless you're at some crazy place like Google, you know, and they're all skateboarding through the hallways, and, you know, it always looks like so much, such a fun place to work, except they're also sleeping under their desks in a dog bed, right?
Right.
You know, I think you're going to see a lot of shifting in that, especially because the masculine traditional corporate work model is disintegrating. I mean, when you look at the recession even that happened, it's also called the man session, because 3/4 of the jobs lost were typically those male-type jobs. They were at companies that are outdated now are industries that are like dinosaurs, like manufacturing, automotive, financial companies that weren't looking at what they were doing. And the women now, we're more than half the workforce. And so I think not enough of us are realizing we are in the power position to now create the jobs, the businesses, the brands, the lives that we really, really love.
Well, Ali, on that note, how would you encourage or how would you challenge our women listeners, business owner listeners, and entrepreneurs to really make a difference today, for example, in how to create a new kind of meaning? Because I think that is creating meaning and bringing more meaning into the workplace and helping people tap into why they do what they do, because that's actually the magical attraction factor. You know, it has such resonance. People lean in closer, right, when they hear you talk about why something is important. I'm not daring you yet. This is something
this
else.
This is the dare. Okay.
What would you advise our women business listeners to do that might help them create that sort of meaning or meaning to their world today?
You know, I think often you just don't know until you get out there. And a lot of women hold back because they want to make everything perfect before they dip their toe in the water. And that really isn't how it works. And I know you've worked with, you know, hundreds of business owners, Van, and so have I. And you've probably seen the ones that, you know, the ones that just get out there and do something. That's the journey. That is the path to discovery. And I know that I didn't know what my brand was or who I was until I just got out there and had to make some money. And people ask me, did you have this big vision when you started your, you know, little business? I said, I needed to pay my rent and not eat mac and cheese again at night. And if that's what motivates you right now, don't be ashamed of it. You just got to make some money. Mm-hmm. As you get out there, it's as if it's more about peeling. Branding for me has been more about peeling the layers away than taking something on, because I'm a different person now, and I'm really much more to my core as a human and who I am. When I was in a traditional working environment, you have all these layers of armor. You just say things a certain way and act a certain way and dress a certain way. And so for me, just getting out there and realizing, I mean, it took me probably 2 years in business to realize I didn't have to wear suits to go visit clients if I didn't feel like it. Like, it was my company, you know. I realized I don't have to get up at 6 in the morning unless I want to or I'm doing a radio interview. And it took, ironically, so long for me to start stripping those things away and finding out what really made me excited. What got me jacked up when I'm working with a client? Or, you know, I realized when women were asking me questions, I loved helping them. I loved answering questions for them. That's when I realized I loved mentoring.
It's amazing, isn't it, how so many people just aren't jazzed to get out of bed every morning, right? To spring out of bed and do the thing that they're meant to be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing so brilliantly, Ali, is that you are helping so many women raise their hand, so to speak, and say, yes, I am going to show up, I'm going to stand out, I'm going to make the kind of money that I deserve, because it is, and it all goes back, this whole mindset about knowing that you can be who you say you are. I mean, I think that authenticity is really key.
Mm-hmm.
And your authenticity speaks volumes, right, in terms of your story and how you tell people your story and where, and your journey, you know, and I think when people hear that honesty and that sort of generosity of spirit, they actually get who you are, right? And that is part of your brand,
yeah.
Is that, and also your vulnerability, which I think is so appealing. So this is all sort of happens. I mean, I'm sure it's instinct, and it's also understanding why people are drawn, you know, why heads are going and, you know, turning in your direction. Is that something also that surprises you, that just showing up and being yourself can be so hugely appealing?
It did when I figured it out. It did when
yes.
I finally realized I'm making a living by being myself. I thought, what a beautiful gift. How amazing is that? And I think more women should share their stories. I think their stories are what bond us. Our stories are what a brand essentially is, a story. And then it's
right.
a promise beyond that. And I have this one story that there was a moment when I started my business, like toward the end of the first year, I literally could not take a $20 bill out one night of the ATM. And I didn't share that. I mean, that wasn't something I went around talking about, you know. especially when
sure.
it was at that moment, you know, with clients. I'm not saying, like, I can't afford lunch
sure.
today. You know, I'm nibbling on their food in the lobby and the clients. And there was a point that I realized that people needed to know that that happened, because they needed to say, oh, my gosh, she understands where I've been, or she, you know, look at the journey she's been on. And it really is about the journey. So you could also say a brand, for some of us, a brand is about the journey we've been on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the journey we'll continue to be on. And for me, it was, you know, that... It was a bumpy road, but you got to love it. You've got to love what you do. And if you don't love what you do, you won't hang in there. I mean, that's why some people just aren't entrepreneurs. You have to just love what you do so much that the crappiest day in your business still feels better than you going back and having a job or whatever previous career you had.
Well, going back, Ali, just to what you were saying in the very beginning, on the brand issue, how... You know, you thought brands were only for big companies.
Mm-hmm.
Are you finding now, when you're working with your various groups and mentorees, are you finding now, and of course it's thanks to you too, but that the people are understanding that doesn't matter whether you're working out of your back bedroom or, you know, out of your, you know, big office, that the brand, you're developing a very irresistible and fascinating brand is really the key to your success. Is your tribe getting that now too?
I think they are getting it because they saw what mm-hmm. I've done. But I'll tell you, when I'm mentoring one on one now, that's one of the focus points of our work together, because I love it so much. And nailing down like the right word that describes their program. Like, I'll squeal when I find the right word. I get so excited. I love words and images. And then we'll kind of sketch out ideas. And there's this one client. I wish I could share what it is, but it's her thing now. So it was so good, I almost didn't, you know. I got this idea, and I'm like, I shouldn't give this to her, but it's really good. And, you know, I sketched this thing to go with, this round thing to go with the logo, and we're just both like, we got chills, because we're like, this is it. This is
right.
it. This is the word that represents what you're doing. And it's just like when you have brand clarity, everything else is easy. It's amazing.
Right.
Everything just flows from that, how things should look, how things should feel, the feeling people should get when they interact with you. So those of you who are a personal brand or small business owner, I would just start even paying attention to how you are personally, like colors you like, how you like your office, what are the magazines you read and shows you watch, and start trying to put this all together into kind of what creates you and your brand DNA, if you want to call that. It really is a good starting point. And I'll do that with a client as a, you know, it's just one of the things you can do, but it's powerful for them to look at really what do they represent personally and how can that be integrated into their business.
Right. Well, I love the brand clarity, because once you have it right, it's almost like that's the benchmark. You know, if you have any
mm-hmm.
question, is this going to work? Is that going to work? You pass it by the benchmark, right? Is this? And you immediately then can say yes or no, yes or no, right? There's no question
yep.
about it. And the biggest question I get asked from clients is, I can't get, there's no clarity. You know, my message is all over the place. And, of course, what I love the most is when I see people stand, you know, in their pool of integrity and that they actually communicate that they are who they say they are. You know, Ali, the photograph on all your social media and your site, it looks like you, right? There's no surprises. You know, everything, your voice, everything stands for the same thing. And there's, one of my favorite words is congruence. You know, it's sort of an ugly word, but if you're congruent, you know, it means that, you know, whether, you know, your body language, your voice, the tone in your voice, the intention, your attitude, the way you look, the eye contact, everything is saying the same message. And that's what's so brilliant, right? Because people get it emotionally. Ali, we're going to wrap up in about, my goodness, I can't believe it, a couple of minutes, 5 minutes. Okay, I'd love you to dare. I'm so thrilled that you've been sharing your jewels of wisdom here. What is your dare now to our listeners, to all our listeners, about what would you dare them to do that might get them out of their, you know, their day-to-day same old from,
I think
what would you dare them?
Do something that scares you a bit. And I don't mean go like
uh-huh.
do a dive off a bridge. I mean, I mean something that you know kind of scares you, makes you uncomfortable, but you know would move you in the right direction. Maybe there's someone you met and you have their business card and you're too chicken to call them. Or maybe you want to ask to be on a radio or TV show. Or maybe there's someone you'd like them to be your mentor and you haven't made that phone call. Or maybe it's talking with your spouse and just saying, like, here's the deal. I'm starting a business. I'm treating this like a business. It's not a hobby. And you're going to see me taking this very seriously. And, you know, I need a separate workspace for my office. Just asking for or claiming. Let's call it claiming. Claiming something today that you know is yours, but you haven't taken action on yet.
That's fantastic, Alec. Because that does take courage, right? And you just have to take a deep breath. I remember one day, I don't know if it was the Shine event or one of maybe the last event, you actually were almost putting one foot like over the stage saying, this is what it feels like. You actually have to feel like you're taking a leap off the cliff, you have, but knowing that you're actually going to be safe, because when you claim something, you get into a stronger, more powerful position. Do you remember that? You probably do that
yes.
a lot on stage.
Yep. I mean, the net really is always there. And the trick is the bridge doesn't appear until you step out. And that's
the scary part.
You never, you know, even today, like I never know how I'm going to do something exactly. Never. I never have everything all ready and planned out.
So until you make the decision.
For people to know.
Yeah,
you make the decision,
so
and then
decision.
Suddenly
yep.
the steps kind of line up. It's very interesting
yeah.
to see that happens. But that's scary.
It's
always real scary.
Scary. So, Allie, tell us, we have 2 minutes. Tell us where our listeners can find you, what you've got for them. I'm sure you've got some fabulous surprise.
Thank you. Well, I have a great free CD that people really love, and you can get that at alliebrownfreecd.com, alliebrownfreecd.com. And you can download it instantly if you'd like, or we'll mail you the CD. And that's going to give you some of my best tips for women entrepreneurs. Now, guys love my stuff too, okay? But I'm really speaking to the women. And everything from ways to increase your income to manage your time and just really love what you do. So that's an option there. And then please go to alliebrown.com, learn more about what I offer. I have some great courses and programs. The lowest level mentoring starts at just $10 a month. That's our silver tier, the Millionaire Protégé Club. You get a monthly call with me with some great information and inspiration. And connect with me on Facebook, and you can see that on the homepage.
Fantastic, Allie. Well, listen, I can't tell you how thrilled I am. I'm only sorry that my voice is not 100%, but you've carried the energy in this call, in this show. So thank you. I know you've got a busy day back-to-back, right, as always. So I won't talk to you immediately, but I'll look forward to catching up with you soon. And thank
Great.
You so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Ben. Bye.
Until next time. You bet. Thanks, Allie. That was the wonderful Allie Brown calling in from L.A. She has a back-to-back day. She's on a TV show, so she was having to rush off to go to that. I just want to thank you all for being on New York Brand Lab Radio today. I'm Van, otherwise known as Mary Vanderweel, and of course I have a half voice here. I was hoping it might sound low and sexy, but I'm not sure that it does. I don't think I want to hear this voice. But I encourage you to go to see Allie Brown, alibrown.com, and take advantage of her fabulous CD. She has amazing things to share with us. And go to my site, which is zingyourbrand.com. And if you sign up there, you can get a free CD on how to create a bigger, bolder brand. Thank you for joining us today on New York Brand Lab Radio. Go out and do what Allie suggested. Go claim something you've never done before. Until next week, this is Van signing off New York Brand Lab Radio. Until later.